Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, you know how they often say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach?
Yeah.
Right? I think I finally, after 6 years with my husband, cracked the code on exactly what he likes in food.
I mean, can I be honest with you?
Yeah, go on.
I feel like you might have backed yourself into a corner here.
What do you mean?
You're, from the stories you've told on the radio show, off the radio show, to me at least, this man has most meals made, not just like bought for him like at the shopping centre, made for him.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
You said you were so stressed the other day. You came in late to work. You said, I was running late. I had to make my husband breakfast. That man has hands. That man has time.
Yeah.
He can make his own breakfast. But you're out there making omelets. So toast does feel a little bit downscaled.
Toast, we've had a bad argument the night before if he's having toast for breakfast. I discovered this weekend that there is one thing that I can add to any meal.
Okay.
And he will instantly love it.
All right.
And I put my theory to the test. Because.
And this moves. Because remember, people might be listening now going, oh, I want that satisfaction from, you know, it is 1953. I want that satisfaction from my male partner with the food that I prepare for him. What is this miracle spice you say?
It's my love language to cook for my husband, okay?
I'm sure that's what the government wanted us to believe.
So on Friday night, I was making him dinner.
Yep.
And
not a second too late, might we say.
And I ran out of the usual spice that I use on, like, for like our steaks when we make steaks. So I was like,
spicing steaks.
Oh yeah.
Oh girly. Okay. But if it's anything more than garlic butter,
salt and pepper.
Honestly, I'm not at like an Outback Steakhouse. Come right.
Well, I have this like steak seasoning that I usually use, but I didn't have that. So I grabbed a whole bunch of spices from the cupboard and I kind of made my own seasoning.
Okay.
And in that, I put chili powder. Right?
Right, yeah.
So I throw it on the meat, throw it in the pan, and Akshay, my husband, walks over and he's like, what is that smell? Oh my God. Something smells incredible.
I mean, for a man who is Indian, spices really changed this man's life.
Literally. Like, he acts like I don't season anything because when he smells
steamed
chili,
veggies.
He's just like, went overboard, right?
Right?
And so I was like, okay, usually like I can tell he likes something when he's like, oh my God, this is the best thing you've ever made.
I feel
right?
like the Colonel's about to tell us the 11 secret herbs and spices. What's going on here?
Well, so the next night I tested this theory. I was like, if I just throw chili powder on something, is he just going to go, chili powder, delicious?
Oh, it's not necessarily the taste you're tricking him with.
It's the literally scent. The smell, right? So I made potatoes on Saturday night. I was like, oh, do you know what I'll do? Usually I put this other spice on. I'm just going to literally just put chili powder, right? So I put a bit of chili powder, some salt and pepper, whatever, threw it in the oven. He comes out and he's like, what are you making? It smells incredible in here.
You can't. Here's the thing. You can't overdo it. You don't want to. You've got to space this out.
I said
you can't
him, I
do
like,
it every meal.
Do you not, like, are you like messing with me? Like you're messing with me right now. He's like, no, why? I was like, it's the chili powder again. I used chili powder. And he's like, no, you didn't. I was like, I did. That's all it is. It's just chili powder. Okay. Last night, I was prepping, making some pulled pork, currently, right now.
Making some Weet-Bix. And I thought, you know what? This will be the nail in the coffin. What is that I smell? What? How many do I do? Infinity. That's how many I do.
So I'm prepping the pulled pork and I'm making the spice mix. Again, just some Kashmiri chili powder. That's all I put in. And he comes over and he goes, tell me you haven't used the chili powder again. Smells incredible in here.
Sorry.
How is this man? The only thing I have ever needed to do ever was put chili powder on everything. And he would love it.
Can I tell you what the three things that I hear linking with all of those three different stories are?
What?
Is he not helping in the kitchen?
Helping in the kitchen. Are you kidding me?
Just sound like he was afar all three times.
It was.
Like he burst out of the door.
The most he ever does is walk in, give something a stir and go, I've helped.
Okay. Well, that's exciting for him. Happy for it. Yeah.
So all I'm saying is if your husband is like saying, oh, I'm getting bored or I don't really like what you've been making lately, just a little bit of chili powder. That's all it takes.
Or he can make his own damn food. He's an adult.
This is Tim and Jess.
I want to talk about a story that I've seen going around online at the moment. And I feel like it's, to me, it's like a 99% of people will feel the same way. But there's 1% of at least everybody, I think, that might go, oh, but This is a tricky one.
Okay.
I want to talk a story about a flight that was taking place. And from what I can read and what I've gathered, you know how sometimes when you need to go to the bathroom, you just, every time you go up there and you go, oh, someone's there. I'm not going to wait standing up. Or sometimes sure. you do. I'll just sit in my seat until I see someone come out if I'm close to the toilet. And then when they leave, you go.
Is there anything more awkward than like standing in the aisle waiting for the bathroom and you're standing right in front of a person sitting down? Yeah. So uncomfortable.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't want to put that
on
someone. So you go, well, I'll sit in my seat and then I'll just try and time my luck. Mm-hmm. And then without even realizing it, half an hour has gone past and you're like, I'm busting. I'm in trouble. Yeah. And the toilet always seems to be occupied.
Yeah.
There's a story going around about a person, a young family, a young parent, that were trying to get into the bathroom on a plane. Their child had gone number two in its nappy. And after a while, the baby was just getting more and more upset because it's sitting there in a dirty nappy. So they just went, changed it on the seat.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, like put down like a change mat that you would. Because in planes, they have the thing that folds down and the change tables and all those things. But they just had to. From this story. And 99% of people are going, wow.
Yeah.
But there is 1% where you go, well, that's... Ugh.
Imagine being the person sitting next to that.
Yeah, well, the person sitting behind that's the reason it's going around right now. They were quite upset. They said they went to the air host and they said, hey, this is what's happened. They said, thank you for bringing it to our attention. We probably would prefer this to not be the case.
See, that's the step too far, right? If I saw that happening on a flight, I'd be like, what is she doing? What is happening? But I wouldn't say anything.
Oh, you wouldn't. You're not dibber-dobbing.
No. Well, what is the air hostess supposed to do about that?
Get that baby off this plane.
Do you know
I
want to
land at the closest regional airport. I don't care if it's Broken Hill. I don't care if it's Mildura. We're landing. This baby's off.
I can understand that if you get desperate, particularly parents. Like, I'm not a parent yet, but I can understand if they're already in a stressful situation, like getting on a plane with a baby. I cannot imagine is a good time for a parent.
Yeah, I've got some mates who they're heading to Ireland this week with a 1-year-old. And I said to them, I was like, is this on purpose? You don't have to go back there for like, you know, like the police aren't chasing you or anything like that. Just to me, as someone with a 1-year-old, I'm
like, I'd
terrified.
Never be one to complain about a baby crying on a plane. Like, they can't help it. Do you know what I mean?
They don't know what they're doing.
No, but I think, I don't know how I feel about the poo situation. I don't know. I wouldn't go as far as like reporting them to the authorities.
There they are, right there, aisle 13.
But should they have waited? Probably. Like, there's probably a better place for them to have done that.
Yeah, I agree. As someone, like, I've, sometimes when they're like, when babies are upset, I would think how I used to think. I'd be like, oh man, just go to the thing.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that I have just like popped the boot of my car in a car park and been like,
where is the weirdest place that you've changed Jack's nappy?
Probably the lookout at Bowen Heads.
Right.
And like busy summer's day, poor little thing.
Or just
boy.
On, like out on a picnic table or?
Yeah, we've done a picnic table. Sure. But again, we're looking around. It's not a shared picnic table. We haven't just eaten.
Someone's eating their fish and chips next to you. Like, what is he doing?
it's not that. But sometimes, like to me, I find that I feel sorry for my son more than anything. Like if we're doing it like at a, like in a car park and we're doing it in the back seat and we've got the mat down and everything, like, he's full nude. He's Winnie the Poohing. Downstairs, like whether we're cleaning his bum or whatever it is, I'm like, sorry, bro. This is.
Does he get embarrassed? Does he?
He's like, Dad, stop it. No, he says, that's more his speed.
Yeah.
5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Where's the strangest place you've had to change a nappy? Jace from Cario has given us a call, though. Jace, where is the strangest place you've had to change a nappy?
This was at a mate's wedding at the dinner table.
Jace, you did it.
Yep. The place they had it, well, I don't even actually know if they had a toilet like that or whatever, or could have been upstairs or whatever. Just, we weren't really sure, and it was in between, you know, must have been between like meals or something. There weren't a lot of people around.
Good Lord.
There weren't a lot of people around, so I just said to the other half, I said, look, I'll just quickly do it now. Fortunately, you know, it wasn't a real stinker, so it was pretty short, sharp, and sharp and shiny, and the pit stop was a pretty quick one.
The younger the better. Because the smell only gets worse as they get older and they start eating food.
Again,
I don't know.
Speaking as a non-parent here, do you get like the nappy change down to like a is it like a pit stop? Like, and you're done?
I don't know whether it's just that maybe it's a boy thing, but yeah, and I'm into Formula One. I got to a point where, yeah, there was a real knack to getting it done quickly and cleanly and also as few wipes as possible. You definitely...
That's huge.
You do so many of them, I think. You've got to make it into a game or else you go mad.
Personally, for me, anything over 3 wipes, I've had an absolute mare.
Wow.
On the wiping situation, I go, geez, man, what do we do? We might as well use an entire roll at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I use that in my own adult life too, that rule. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I'm starting to see a bit of a pattern here between Jace and myself and Mariah. We appreciate that, Jace. And where I'm thinking is like at a wedding, like is it table, chair, or floor? Like what order? What's the ranking order?
You can't do the table.
Can't do the table, but what's worse, floor or chairs after that? Like where do you want it? Like floor seems a bit disrespectful.
Yeah, you have to go chair.
But then there's 3 chairs you're lining up.
Because like my butt's already going on the chair. It's fine.
You won't get up. You're like, well, just hurry up and do it already.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Jess, I know you were saying that your husband went full hunker down mode. A lot of people did over the last couple of days, especially over the weekend. And between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. last night, boy, did it start blowing a gale across Geelong Surf Coast and the Bellarine.
You don't realise just how uninsulated your home is.
find the rattles.
Yeah, you start hearing the rattling. You hear the whistles.
Yeah. Was there anything in particular that you were most worried that was maybe going to be sent over your back fence?
We have an outdoor setting. It's like a glass top table.
You don't want that flying.
Definitely don't. No. I've discovered I have a shed in the backyard that I didn't know existed.
You have a shed? It's not your garage?
Well, we have a garage as well, but my car went in the garage.
You didn't want that to fly away?
Well, no, we didn't want anything to fly into that. So we secured the car. This is how ridiculous my husband went. He moved
wild,
the bins
mate.
In. To the garage,
yeah.
And then yeah, the shed had all the stuff in the backyard, so some pots and the outdoor setting. Again, I didn't even know we had this shed.
All right,
but
good to know that he built it out of whatever resources he had readily available to him.
Apparently, it's been there since we moved in. Who knew?
We had a few things we just weighted down with some bricks, like we have a kid's swing set, a couple of bricks that ain't going anywhere.
Oh, you want bricks flying around? That's right.
Well, no, the bricks are heavy. No, they won't. It's safe. The other thing I was genuinely worried about was we have like a little plastic sand pit, like you know those shell things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not a shell; it's just like another thing. And I was very worried, but I just put the 2 bags of sand in it again.
Yeah, top notch.
Felt safe to me. Didn't move a single millimeter. Move a single millimeter overnight.
Your dog Remy?
She was inside.
She have a good fly last
night.
Yeah,
turned into a flying fox. The only thing that ended up on our front lawn this morning, and I am wrapping my head around this again, 5223295. Give us a call if something flew over your fence or something blew across your street or something that you've seen over the wild weather. And I know you're going to laugh at me. A pair of Birkenstocks were.
Are you sure they weren't?
Yeah, no, they are. They're mine. The pair of Birkenstocks were just out on the front. One was in the driveway and one was on the grass. And
so someone's taken their shoes off at the front door and they've gone for a wander.
Here's the thing. Because my wife and I, we both have a pair of Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
Mine and hers were both at the back of the house.
Oh, and now they're not?
Well, hers are still at the back. Mine were at the front, drenched in rain. Because obviously it rained last night.
Oh, so they got picked up.
I don't know. Because my initial thought, I was like, oh, did I leave them out the front? But the wind was coming towards the house and these have gone further away. This is bizarre. But
some of the wind that I've seen, particularly here down here on Moorabool Street, has been very circular, almost like a tornado.
I'm sorry, I don't live on Moorabool Street, Jess.
No, but I'm just saying the wind in Armstrong Creek could have been like tornado-like and lifted it up in the backyard, whisked it around the back of the house.
And then thrown it out the front.
Yeah.
My thinking is it's gone over my brand new neighbour's back fence and he's gone... Why are there Birks?
Oh,
and he's just put them out the front of ours on his way to work this morning.
Just piffed them like a newspaper. I definitely
didn't leave them out the front. And these 2 Birkenstocks just sitting out there, like 2 bins toppled over. I was like, what? And again, I woke up 5:45. I'm looking out the front of my house. I'm going, and we only moved into this house on Friday. We picked
your neighbor's like, welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah, we picked the best weekend to move house. And I cannot for the life of me figure out why these Birkenstocks were the only casualty from what I can see.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I think that you've gotten off easy considering you didn't secure anything down.
You're right. I should have tied down the Birkenstocks. I should have put the bricks on the Birkenstocks, not on the kids' swing set. I feel a little bit silly.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, I want to talk about a bloke that's gone viral over the weekend, talking about a bad date that he had.
I did put that in air quotes
because he described it as a nightmare date story, but everyone on the internet seems to be thinking that he might be the problem.
Okay.
And it got me thinking about one thing in particular, but let me talk you through you haven't seen this guy.
What is this?
Essentially, it's this Melbourne bloke, and he said, I had the worst date over the weekend. I invited a girl to go to Yochi, which is essentially like a frozen yogurt place in Melbourne. He invited this girl on a frozen yogurt date, and when they arrived, apparently she did something just outrageous in his opinion.
All right.
Have a listen to this.
So I was on a date last night, more specifically a Yochi date. Chemistry's there. Pull into Yochi. I grab the normal size cup, right? Like the small one. That's all you need. Anything else, outrageous. Middle cup, if you're grabbing that, it's like, okay, you must be really hungry. The big cup, that's just outrageous. That's just simply like, you don't need that much. That's just a gluttonous amount of frozen yogurt.
I mean, I've been to a place like that. I do kind of have to agree. The small ones to me aren't small. I've never seen anybody ever eat anything other than a small.
Well, I mean, she's on a date. They've obviously not gone out for a dinner. This is...
Apparently these are really popular, these frozen yogurt things in these states.
Yeah, so you get your yogurt, you get your toppings. He said she chose the biggest thing of yogurt. She filled it to the brim. The whole thing is that you take it to the weighing station, you pay for what the weight is.
That's how my wife got me on board. She was like, remember how much you used to love Cold Rock before they essentially went out of business across the country? I was like, yeah, I do. I love that. She's like, think about that, but it's frozen yogurt and there's like all these little snacks and treats that you like. And I was
toppings.
Like, that's incredible.
Right, so this date has gone to a terrible start, according to this bloke.
Okay.
She's chosen the biggest thing. How gluttonous
of her. She picked the big one.
Yep.
All right.
She's filled it to the brim. She's put all the toppings on. And then it comes to paying. Have a listen to how just disgusted he is in having to pay.
So then it comes to paying, and it's the classic, are you guys together? And I was like, and you look at her, she looks at you. I was like, yes. Put it down, scales break in half.
Scales break.
He goes on to say, oh, it cost me like $330. Relax.
Do you know how much it actually cost?
He doesn't say. But a lot of people in the comments are saying, if you can't afford a $20 yogurt, maybe you shouldn't be dating.
Would a large one with lots of toppings probably...
The most it would cost would be like $20-$30. Right? And so this is what he's complaining. And everyone on the internet is just letting this guy have it.
Okay.
Saying that, look, it is dating culture that you are kind of expected as the bloke to pay on the first date.
Well, I know how you feel about this.
Well, this is what I want to ask.
I know how you. We've spoken about this for years.
On 52232955, who pays on the first date? Because I think, and like...
Just go out. No, I think you just need to commit to your thoughts. Don't be safe.
As a feminist.
Oh, no. This is...
I think that it should be equal. However...
Aha, uh-huh. that's a new flavour to this.
When it comes to the first date, I think the bloke should pay.
See, I'm intrigued by this because I feel obligated.
Yeah.
To be, and I've always felt like if you don't pay, then you're not doing this right.
Right.
And isn't that sad that's how the first date, like you can ride on that? That if someone
I would judge people on that. Right? Like, I know that come the second date, I will 100% offer to pay for the full thing. But that first date, you want to impress me? You're paying. My husband, he paid for our first date.
Yeah, but, like, don't you... Like, you want to impress... Like, stereotypically,
I would always offer...
We're talking about a female-male dynamic,
I do the
obviously.
Empty offer of... Pulling out my wallet.
Thank you for not making me force that out.
I couldn't possibly. Oh, no? You want to pay? Great. Okay. Then there's going to be a second date. 52232955. Who
what
pays
an
on the
infinity
first date?
Stone to acquire you are, Jessica. Listen to yourself.
This is what I'm asking though, because I don't know. You and I haven't been on the dating scene for many, many years. Maybe it's different rules now. Maybe this bloke has got a leg to stand on.
Caleb from Thompson, how do you feel about this?
Oh, I feel that we should pay.
Are you being held at gunpoint, Caleb?
He's reading a script.
Oh, I paid on the first date.
Yeah, so I think we all
Caleb, are. You're currently dating someone now, right?
Yeah, correct.
So on the first date with this lovely woman, you paid?
100%.
Right. And did she offer to pay?
I think so, but I think I just snuck in, paid. Yeah.
That is one of the favourite pay up for someone. You go, I'm just going to go to the loo, or I'm just going to...
Yeah.
You go get it done.
Oh, that's so attractive. Don't worry, I got it. Oh, okay.
Jess, I know you want to be a feminist, but a lot of things you say on this show really just go against everything about it, right?
I know, yeah.
You are trying your best. Caleb, do you feel like you're expected to? Like, you would feel off, like the way you speak, you would feel off if you didn't pay on the first day, right?
I don't know. I feel a bit. I'm not old, but I feel like it's old school thing to do to pay on the first date.
I wonder what the younger generations are doing.
Well, clearly they're getting annoyed.
Got no money.
This is what this bloke was saying on, you know, the video went for like 5 minutes of him complaining. And he said,
don't ask anyone out.
Exactly. This is what everyone's saying, right? He's like, I just got back from Europe. I haven't got money to burn on $20 yogurts. So why ask this girl out?
Shouldn't have gone to Croatia.
Yeah.
Oh, Caleb. Hey, we appreciate your honesty. You're always honest when you call the show, so thank you very much.
That's all good, team. Have a good one.
There you go. It did definitely sound like it was being forced to read off a piece of paper at the start there.
And I love my girlfriend very much.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.